On today's episode, we're going to dive into a weight loss journey from weight loss, weight gain, emotional eating, everything in between. We're going to get into it with my special guest. So grab your coffee and let's get into it. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee. I'm here with a special guest today in studio, Michelle Vargas. Michelle, welcome.
Thanks. I'm very special.
You are special. So for those of you who don't know, Michelle is actually my niece, but we grew up in the same household because my parents adopted her when she was a newborn baby.
Yes, very newborn.
So are you excited to be here on Candidly with Coffee?
Yes, I'm very, very excited. A little nervous, not used to being filmed, but it's okay.
Yeah. Do you watch our podcast?
Actually, I don't really do good with podcasts. They don't capture my, you know.
So you're saying I don't capture your...
Only true crime.
Oh.
True crime.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, I wanted to bring you on today because I'm doing like a series on Candidly with Coffee. I just want to explore weight loss transformations. Mm. The good, the bad, the proper way, the healthy lifestyle, all the things. I'm not discriminating against any way in which people maintain or lose weight. I just want to know. I think our listeners, they want to know. They want to know how people do it and the different circumstances. So let's dive into your history with weight gain and weight loss. Hmm. Take me back to like your teenage years. Were you someone that struggled with weight when you were a teenager?
No, actually, I had a very fast metabolism. I was pretty skinny. I was probably at my, in high school, I was probably about 108 pounds.
Okay, so you were pretty thin. How tall are you?
5'5".
Yeah, so you were really thin. Do you remember having any thoughts on diets or being thin, wanting to gain weight, or just any relationship with your body and food back then?
Yes. For many reasons, I had a lot of self-image issues. Even though I was really skinny, I was like, oh, I look a little big now, right now. And I was like, 120 pounds.
Yeah. So from 108 to 120, that was like, oh my gosh, I'm chunky. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, growing up with you, I recall you were a very tiny child. You were always very thin as a young child. Mm-hmm. And we grew up in the same household. So did mom, my mom is your mom, your adopted mom, you call her mom. Mm-hmm. Did she force feed?
Yes. Yes.
She wanted to fatten you up?
Not force feed, like shoving it down my throat, but she would make sure that I ate. I had a really bad relationship with food at some point when I was younger, and would, you know, she would force feed me, and then I actually used laxatives.
Oh, did
point.
You?
Mm-hmm. Odd, right? But
because she was trying to fatten you up,
and I didn't want to get.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how you can grow up in the same household with the same similar situations, but everyone responds to it differently. Because she wanted me to be chubby as well. I was force fed. I actually think I recall though that she would add gainers to your food. So that's interesting.
Because let's say I had a sandwich or a little plate of food, I would feel like I ate three plates. Yeah. Of food. I was like, you know, when you eat food that has MSG in it, it's so good and it really fills you up. You feel bloated. That's how I felt every time I ate her food. It was packed with God knows what, a lot of butter. I know that, but I did feel it. So when I was young, you know, in high school, you know, your self-image and stuff like that, I went to the extreme and I, you know, took laxatives to not feel full or
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Because I do remember that. It's weird to have a memory. Like, I know she was using things to fatten you up, which is so interesting. But you were very thin. But there was a time that and you ate poorly, by the way. You had, I witnessed you had like poor, just you ate junk food. You love junk food.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
Did you not have a shelf in your room that she would stockpile with all your favorite junk food?
Yeah, I would come home from school to new things in my drawer.
What kind of things?
Hot Cheetos, sour candy, chocolate bars, Anything you could think of.
Everything
was there.
That you loved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny because I was addicted to, well, still am, junk food because it's just salt and sweets and it just tastes really good. So it's been a weird journey.
So you ate a lot of that bad food. And for a long time, you were still very thin. You were just, you know how people say, oh, naturally thin. But you were really thin. Mm-hmm. And when did that change? When did you start to put on some weight?
When I hit my later 20s, mm-hmm. I want to say maybe 27.
Yeah, so late 20s. Do you think that it's almost worse if you were, because you were such a thin child and you ate whatever you wanted, you were even plied with fattening foods to fatten you up. So you never had to think about it. You were always just thin and eating what you want. Do you think it makes it more difficult because all of a sudden things shift and the weight starts coming on, but you've never had to think about it before?
1,000%. I don't have self-control. I don't know how to do self-control. I don't know. I never knew that idea of watching what you eat because I never had to. So when that happened, I blew up overnight when I really, it was over time and my clothes stopped fitting and I was like a size zero at one point. Yeah. And then I jumped up to a size 3 and then a size 5 and then, you know.
It just was creeping up.
And then I just got depressed. I was like,
was it just your eating habits or were you like a weed smoker or something?
I was a weed smoker in high school, like way back then. And then it trailed into after high school. And then especially when I started gaining weight, because when I was in high school smoking weed and eating junk food, never gained weight.
Right.
So I don't know the self-control.
Yeah, you're like, what the heck? I'm doing what I've always been doing. Mm-hmm. I wonder what shifted then. What changed your activity level? Did your routines change? Like, why did the weight start creeping up?
Age.
Because age doesn't really impact your metabolism. There must have been something. Oh, did you start medications?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Birth control especially. Mm-hmm. I think that was huge. And then I'm on like antidepressants and stuff like that.
That's well.
Also huge. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I feel like it just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So antidepressants, birth control, all of those things can contribute to hormonal weight gain and weight gain for sure. So that might have been the catalyst that kind of changed things. And don't you feel sometimes that like then when you start gaining weight, it's like a runaway train. Mm-hmm. You almost eat more because you're depressed about the weight gain. Mm-hmm. Especially with you, I think.
Yeah.
Because I have witnessed it firsthand, that you tend to eat your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Whenever I fall into a depression or just stressed, whatever the case may be, I eat. Endless pit. A lot.
Yeah, like a lot. Describe what is a lot.
I can eat a whole like dozen of donuts if I wanted to. I can eat 5 plates of pasta, all the carbs, love it. Mm-hmm. I probably could eat a whole pizza, especially around that time when you saw me, it was food in my mouth.
Yeah, we're going to get into that for sure. So describe in during this time when you're like a bottomless pit, when you have no regard. Describe what you would order going to McDonald's. What would your McDonald's order be?
Mm. 2 Big Macs, a large fry, 10-piece nuggets. And then if I'm going through the drive-thru, I'll get a cheeseburger to eat while I'm driving.
Oh, my God.
And a large Coke. So good.
It's so weird because having these conversations with you, I pick up on similarities that with me. And it's even though we've had a different journey with food and all of that, it stems from the same parenting style because I was force-fed also. I, too, would go through a McDonald's drive-thru and I would always have to buy an extra something to eat on the way home. That is mind-blowing. I don't think that's normal. You guys, comment below. Is that a disordered behavior or is that normal? Because I didn't want to dip into the food because I didn't want to have less when I got home and got comfortable.
Yes, because there's a certain way that I want to eat the food in the bag. So let's say the 2 Big Macs and the fries, that goes together. I mix it. I put it in with the sauce and it's
Yeah. You can't eat your fries before the burger. Yes. So you have to have something extra.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I would even get a small fry and a chocolate shake, and I dip it completely separate. Right.
Yeah.
Just so I separate. Could have it as a snack.
Oh my God. I do. Yeah. I almost feel like I do that still a little bit sometimes, like on a cheat day. I do that. So that's something that has stuck with me. So that's crazy. So that's a pretty large amount of food. And you ate like that for a while, you would say, like in your late 20s. Was that your behavior mm-hmm. in terms of eating? And what happened with your weight throughout that time?
I blew up. Yeah. It was almost like I said, it was overnight, but it was gradual. And I look back at pictures and I was bloated. Mm-hmm. Like I was just on top of eating bad. And also like I drank too. Mm-hmm. So it's just the bloat. My face was bloated. I was very like, you don't notice it until you compare. And I put on a pair of pants that I used to fit in. I ripped them on the butt crack.
That happened to you?
Mm-hmm. At some point? I was too big. I couldn't fit in them anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So when that started to happen, so let's see, let's try to do age because I'm trying to figure out how old I was. So if you're in your late 20s, when you start, like mid 20s, probably I would say, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when it happened. So that was like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was like 40. Okay. I do recall. How did you feel about your body though? Because you know, you would crack a lot of jokes about it. So you would act like it didn't bother you. You know what I mean? You would joke. You'd see me and you'd stick your stomach out and you'd hit it and go, look how fat I am. You would joke. And I don't think I realized it at the time. I'm assuming you were bothered or upset.
How I coped with it not let it bother me.
Yeah.
Because I had my grandfather telling me on the side every day that I was overweight.
Getting
couldn't
fat.
Couldn't fit through a regular door, the whole thing. And I did that to cope, mm-hmm. making jokes. That's what I use humor mm-hmm. all the time, mm-hmm. till this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that sometimes hindsight is like 20/20 because I truly didn't think you cared. I really didn't think you cared about it because you would joke about it all the time. Like hitting yourself on the belly or showing me your stomach. You would lift your shirt up and go, look, can you believe this? And it was almost like it was funny because you were literally teased for being so skinny mm-hmm. when you were young. Mm-hmm. I think at one point throughout that process, when you had put on weight, you raised the red flag and wanted to do something about it. And you reached out to Alyssa. Mm-hmm. So what happened with that?
So it went really good.
So Alyssa's my daughter, by the way. She's a personal trainer. And so you reached out to her.
Yeah, because I wanted to do something about it because I looked in the mirror and I hated what I saw. So she was my personal trainer and mm-hmm. I ate better. I counted my calories. I actually lost a good amount of weight. Mm-hmm. And then I fell off the wagon shortly after.
Why did you fall off the wagon?
Because mom.
No, but you fell off the wagon before she was sick.
No, I was counting my calories.
No, because you had gotten time.
When I moved.
When you moved. Mm-hmm. Okay, when I moved. You were, yeah, because you were coming to, we live on the same street, and you were coming to my house to work out in the gym with Alyssa. You were tracking macros. You were on a good path. You mm-hmm. were on your way down. Do you want to share numbers at all in the scale? Mm-hmm. So like at what was your weight at the time that you reached out to Alyssa?
Okay, so that time I was probably hitting 170 almost. I was in the high 160s.
And then you got down though from there because mm-hmm. you went down first. Mm-hmm. So then you got down to about how?
Low 50s, high 40s, 148, 150.
And because I remember that. And I remember you were working out, you got a gym membership, you started tanning, you were like getting your life back together. A little bit at that time. So that was like not that many years ago, maybe 4 years ago mm-hmm. or so. And then so this was probably maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then you moved out and you, of course, like this is what happens with people and they start a routine and you were on a good routine. I remember I was really impressed, but you change, something shifts and it's like, it falls out the window. Mm-hmm. And you started, remember I would get on you because you're like, oh, I fell off. I don't work out. All I do is DoorDash. At your new apartment, remember? Mm-hmm. And I would say, Michelle, you got to stop doing that. You cannot do that. And you're like, oh, I don't want to leave the house. I just DoorDash. That was bad behavior. Obviously, the weight maybe started to creep up a little bit, but then that's when my mom passed away. So our mom passed away. And during that process before she passed, I have to say, because that was my first realization about your emotional eating. I didn't realize you were an emotional eater. I thought you were just someone who had bad eating habits, but it was a coping mechanism for you. Mm-hmm. And I remember when she was in hospice, her appetite was out of control. Do you recall?
I laugh about it now, but yeah, every time you looked at me, I had food in my mouth. Even when I was taking care of her, I had a donut.
It was, and it was almost funny. We would laugh because I'd be like, Michelle, you were in the corner just stuffing food in your face. And you knew your emotional eater. Mm-hmm. Had you done that kind of thing before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So instead of not eating when I'm depressed, I eat. It's like my stomach has no limit.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I can eat so much. It's actually like bizarre.
Yeah. And it was very obvious to me after she passed, because obviously that's a severe traumatic situation. Mm-hmm. And every time I saw you after she passed away, you were bigger. Mm-hmm. And it was scary. Mm-hmm. It was like a scary amount of rapid weight gain. Did you even weigh yourself at your heaviest?
I did.
And what was it?
Almost 180.
Yeah.
It was getting into the 180s.
Into the 180s. Mm-hmm. And it was like, every time I saw you, you were bigger. You must have put on 30 pounds in a couple of months.
And I also drink a lot. Mm-hmm. It's just bloat and like, bad eating, like it was bad.
Your whole entire energy, it wasn't just the weight gain. It was definitely also the alcohol, a lot of alcohol, which you can still work on that, but we'll get into that. It was everything, your energy, like the way you walked and carried yourself, and you had zero regard for the things you shouldn't eat. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you came to visit at my house? And what did we have? Stromboli? It was cheat day for me. Don't judge. We had Stromboli. And then you're like, oh my God, I can't. You're like, my stomach is huge. Look at me. Again, the humor. And your stomach was just huge. And I was like, oh my God, Michelle, what's going on? You're like, I'm lactose intolerant. And I'm like, then why on earth would you eat a Stromboli stuffed with cheese if you're lactose intolerant?
It's so good. I don't regret it.
And then the cannoli.
Oh, I had to.
That's also cheese.
I had to.
Okay. So I was worried about you for sure.
Normal.
Yeah.
It was normal for me.
No, but I was worried just about, I felt like every time you would leave, because you'd live a few hours away, every time I saw you, you were going to be larger. And I was worried about your health. You have diabetes in your family, your mental health. Mm-hmm. It was just a package deal. Not good. Mm-hmm. What change? Because now every time you come see me, every time I see you, you're smaller. And I'm going to tell you guys, this is candidly with coffee, because I purposely don't know. I really don't know exactly what you've been doing. We're going to find out right now. But I know that every time I see you, you're smaller. And every time I see you, you're happier, and you're sharing your makeup and you're sharing the clothes that you're buying. So let's dive into that. What happened? What changed?
Well, what's funny enough is because I was forced into a diet.
Okay.
Because my significant other wanted to lose weight, and he is very strict with what he eats now. No bread, it's literally salad and chicken.
But he's the one who cooks.
He's the one who cooks because I refuse.
Talk to me.
He's the one who cooks because I refuse to cook that every day.
Yeah.
But I eat it every day, and it's so boring, to be honest.
So he started a weight loss journey.
Yes.
How long ago did he start his weight loss journey?
4 months ago.
Okay. Because that, you guys, when I say that she literally every time I see her, she's smaller, this is a short period of time. So when you got at your highest in the 180s, let's say 185, 4 months ago,
yeah,
5 months ago, Christmas time. Mm-hmm. Because that's when I was, right before Christmas is when.
I was huge.
Yeah.
I was very large.
Yeah. So it's only been what? Four months. What's your weight today?
I'm very proud of this. It's 136.
So 50 pounds.
Yeah.
50 pounds. Mm-hmm. Okay. The people are going to want to know how you lost 50 pounds in 4 or 5 months. So your boyfriend embarks on his weight loss journey. He lost a significant amount of weight too. I'm probably going to have to talk to him at some point.
Yes.
Did he do anything in addition to just diet and exercise? Did he take a Ozempic or something like that?
No. He diet and cardio on a bike every single day. No breaks.
So did he track his macros or his calories? Calories. Just changed his food. How much weight did he lose?
A lot. I want to say off the top of my head. Yeah.
Okay. So he lost about 50 pounds in how long? Same amount of time?
Same amount of time.
About 4 months. Mm-hmm. From eating a very specific diet, not tracking macros, but eating kind of probably bro science, right? Chicken, vegetables, rice, potatoes kind of thing.
Chicken and salad.
And do you guys enjoy a cheat meal?
Yes.
Okay.
Every Saturday.
Okay. So you have a cheat meal or a cheat day?
Cheat day.
Oh, so Saturday is like you eat whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And then now tell me, did you lose weight simply because you were eating the food that he cooked, or did you have a desire to lose weight, or how did that go about?
I didn't plan on it. I guess I subconsciously knew that it wasn't fair to eat bad in front of him.
Okay.
So I avoided that as much as possible. So I just hopped on the diet and here I am.
So I'm just going to eat what you eat. Mm-hmm. Did you see that it was working for him and that intrigued you? I mean, try to really take yourself back and think about it.
Yes. But okay. So I was not happy with myself. I was getting very big. I was depressed. I was drinking a lot. It was just, I was going down a really bad path.
Right.
So yeah, I guess I didn't consciously mean to go on a diet, but I wanted to do it.
And so
subconsciously.
And then how did you feel when the weight started to come off?
I feel happy with what I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Describe a typical day of eating, like right now. Because have you been eating the same for the past 4 months? The same? It still hasn't shifted?
Give or take. Yeah.
Okay. So describe a typical day of eating on the boyfriend diet.
It's once a day.
Oh, really?
Dinner. And maybe a little snacking for lunch.
Yeah.
It's not the healthiest. Don't do that.
Yeah, but do you find yourself, how are you controlling the hunger?
You get used to it after. Drink water. Chew gum.
So you are, but here's the thing. Do you find that when you finally do allow yourself other things that it becomes difficult to control?
No, because my stomach shrunk. I can't even eat as much as I used to anymore. I get sick.
So if you're on a trip right now, you're here to see me and you'll be flexible. You'll eat out. You're not doing your boyfriend diet in while you travel. And do you have any issues with food? Like you're afraid you're going to gain the weight back, or do you go a little off the chains, or what do you do?
Describe that.
Talk about that.
So I, at first, like I could still, obviously on cheat day, I would go crazy. And then I would feel bad after because I'm like, oh, I already lost this weight. I'm going to go backwards if I keep doing this. But as time went on, it got easier because I couldn't even do it if I wanted to.
Do you think it has to do with just that? Or do you think it has anything to do with you really like the way you feel and look? And so you also don't want to undo that?
I don't want to undo it. But also I know the way that I'm doing it is probably not the right way.
There's no right or wrong way necessarily. You have to do what works best for you. Now, obviously, me coming in, I have some things I would change. I would want you to incorporate exercise because I know we've talked about that. I want you to get like a walking pad and things like that. But your journey's not over either. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you have to start the process of getting to where you want to be, and it might not be the perfect road. But then you start to get better at it and more, you know what, now that I'm thin, maybe I want to maybe put on some muscle. So maybe I'm going to get some weight. You start layering in other things. So it's not necessarily that what you've done is the wrong thing. Or would you be open to maybe start making some changes now to maybe layer on to what you've already been able to accomplish on your own? Are you intrigued in doing anything? What's your path forward, I should say? What's your plan to do this forever?
No, because I don't want to completely disappear. and become nothing, right? I want to, if I keep losing weight and not exercise or lift weights or anything, mm-hmm. I'm gonna deflate, mm-hmm. so to say. So I do want to build muscle. I hate cardio.
That's okay. I mean, you don't have to do cardio.
It's
weights is excellent.
Yes, weights, but like at like home. So I would buy like my own little set, and mm-hmm. I'm already looking at on Amazon. You know, the ankle things and then mm-hmm. the resistance bands kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do you prevent yourself, do you think, from going back into bad habits? What stops you from going backwards?
Keeping my mental health on track.
Do you feel that the weight loss has impacted your mental health?
It's helped.
In mm-hmm. a positive way? Mm-hmm. What are you doing now for handling your emotions? When you get emotional or stressed, obviously you're not turning to food, and that was once a huge crutch for you. So what are you doing now?
I am acknowledging a bad day rather than bottling it up, because mm-hmm. I do that all the time. And I am pretty much like expressing like no filter, like, yeah, I'm in a bad mood today.
Yeah. That's good. And you're in therapy, full disclosure, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you think, I'm just going to give you my observation. I think that you think, oh, you just ate what your boyfriend ate and that's why the weight came off and all of that. I think it's also a result of being in therapy and mm-hmm. learning how to process your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, because listen, if Mike was making chicken, your boyfriend's name is Mike also. If he was making chicken and you needed to process your emotions, you're going to go into your snack drawer, or you're going to come hell or high water. You're going to get to some snacks to get to eat your emotions. So obviously there's been some work that you've done to do something besides eating to handle your emotions, mm-hmm. don't you think? So you're releasing it more.
I feel like it's just a lot easier because I'm focusing on my mental health and I'm really taking it seriously, because at least for me, when I'm not good up here, I'm not going to treat myself with any kind of healthy way.
Right.
I want to self-destruct.
Right.
Because I'm self-destructing up here.
Yeah. So because my assumption is that had you not been focused on your mental health and doing the therapy and things like that, and Mike embarked on this weight loss journey, it wouldn't have impacted you.
No.
So I think it was like the perfect storm.
Yes.
In a good way, like the perfect storm in a good way. Yeah. And because I'm from my perspective and my experience, even if you were locked into a dungeon and having to eat his diet, the minute that you got free, you'd be eating everything in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I saw you guys went to pizza yesterday. You had two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
The Michelle that visited me 6 months ago, we came home from Luna and you ordered DoorDash after we had a meal.
Yes.
Like immediately. And you remember you ordered Panera bread
I got the wrong order. I'm still mad about that.
It does help though that your current residence does not have DoorDash.
They gave me a salad.
Yeah, they did. And remember you came and told me, is this a sign? Because I was on you about doing something. I wanted you to do something about your habits. What would you say is your worst eating habit now that you still struggle with? Do you have one that you're like, that's something I got to watch?
Soda. Major.
Regular soda. Okay, do you remember, because I've shared this story before, there was a time you wanted me to help you lose weight and you wanted macros and a meal plan. It was back when I was doing keto plans. And I said, no, you don't need to do all that. All you need to do is stop drinking soda. Don't worry about anything else. Just promise me you'll drink no liquid calories. You did that for 1 month and you lost 16 pounds.
Yeah.
That's how much soda you drink. You lost 16 pounds, mm-hmm. but you gained it back and started drinking soda, whatever, but it was a fun experiment. So that's still your vice.
Yes. But thankfully they have Coke Zero and stuff and it tastes like regular Coke.
Yeah.
So, but it's this conscience. Like I know this isn't real Coke. So I'm like, no, real Coke. Anytime I go to fast food, real Coke.
So when you still drink regular soda, wow.
To be honest, yeah.
But only once in a while. You don't buy it for home?
Nope. Only when I go out, if I'm going through a drive-through, like even off of cheat day, sometimes if I'm going to a doctor's appointment, I'm like, oh, I'm already out. I might as well go through a drive-through.
I mean, it's okay to treat yourself. I think that's a healthy relationship with food, to still love certain things and allow them in moderation. Mm-hmm. Where it gets tricky is if, do you ever find that you lose control? Oh my God, this was so good. I'm going to go buy a 2-liter and hide it in the garage or something.
Not yet.
Okay, let's not let that happen.
Not yet. I hope it never happens because I used to drink 4 or 5 cans a day of regular.
Okay, so
Coke.
Let me ask you this. How has your relationship with alcohol evolved? Has that been, are you getting better? I know that's advice for you as well at times for mm-hmm. coping. You didn't switch the food thing for alcohol, do you think? Do you drink more now or less?
I drink less now.
Okay.
Therapy helped a lot, like okay. in that aspect, but I still drink more than the normal
than you
person.
Should.
Yeah.
Is this something that you care to work on, or is it you're just like, whatever, I like my alcohol and it is what it is?
No, I'm actively working on it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I always thought it was okay because I don't drink during the week. I binge on the weekend. I didn't realize that was a problem. Not that long ago, realized it was an issue because I'm pretty much overloading my body in one night. And now I don't, instead of having, I'm embarrassed to say this, but
say it,
go whatever. Through like more than half of it.
Okay. So you're drinking how much on a binge drinking weekend? What are we talking?
I can go through a pretty much a 36 pack of Bud Light.
Do you do that often still?
No.
Okay,
so I haven't done that in a while.
So did that coincide with the change in your eating habits and all of that? Like you improved everything all at once? Do you feel like you've shifted to any other vices? Or because you gave those up or you're working on giving those up, do you feel like it's redirected now? It could be positive or negative, but do you feel, because sometimes that's what happens.
Yes, I am an impulse shopper.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful about that. Because a lot of times, even with Mike and his addictions, I know that I have to watch when he gives up things that are bad, which is a good thing. We have to watch that he doesn't shift to some other negative thing. Mm-hmm. But you can shift it to positive things because obviously I feel like you had somewhat of a food addiction, issues with alcohol, issues with other things that we can probably touch on a whole other episode. But you can shift those into positive things. Like that's one thing about addictive personalities. They're very successful people because they will stop at nothing and let no one prevent them from getting to what they want to get to, whether it's food, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol. So do you see yourself maybe shifting that attention to something else or working on shifting that?
If I'm being honest, it's getting out of hand. And it's definitely something that I'm worried about right now. Is my, like, I'll wake up in the morning half asleep and buy something.
Yeah. It's a dopamine. You're searching for the dopamine. That you got to work through that in therapy mm-hmm. because you're shifting your addictions to something else. And you have to, you have to shut that down if it's getting out of hand. You have to, you know, you have to remove things off of your app, you know what you need to do? Unsubscribe to any emails so that you don't think that you need to jump on every sale. Now's a therapy session.
That's very hard.
That's a therapy session. I'm not a licensed therapist. Let me just put that out there right now.
Disclaimer.
But it's on a positive note, you have made a lot of positive changes. So that is something to be celebrated. And I think that it's really a testament to, for anyone out there who's looking to lose weight, you have to really identify why you gained it to begin with. Mm-hmm. Because if you just go on a diet or go on a program or hop on macros or do this or that, and you don't figure that out, it's not going to be permanent changes. So obviously it felt like you just hopped on a diet with your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But what really happened was simultaneously you were working through things with your therapist. Do you have any advice to anybody else who is an emotional eater? Because it's a common thing.
Emotional eating is very difficult. It's actually hard to realize unless someone like you told,
yeah.
Sometimes I forget that I'm even eating.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because You're doing it subconsciously. It's like a habit, like a...
Yeah, like when you pick your skin or whatever, it's or pick your nails. Or yeah. I'm just saying bite your nails or whatever. It's yeah. a habit.
Exactly. And you don't really realize that you're doing it, but you do, but you just yeah. don't care.
I think sometimes when someone says it out loud, it's just, whoa, that's what I've been doing. Because when I told you, when I saw you eating the donut, you were eating like, you ate like a dozen donuts while mom was in hospice in yes. a day. What every yeah. time I looked at you, I had another donut. And I said, oh my God, you're eating your emotions. You're like, I know. But I don't think you really ever realized it until that moment.
Yeah. And that's the dangerous thing is if you... especially if you're not in the right headspace and someone does tell you're eating too much, and it actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because my advice is to make sure that you are okay up here so you can better take care of your physical self.
Yeah.
Because this affects your physical body 1,000%. Because I'll tell you right now, if I was in a deep depression and never did anything about it, I would probably be morbidly obese.
Yeah. Yeah, I was afraid it was going down that mm-hmm. that road. So your advice, which I think is really good advice, is the internal affects yeah. the external.
Mm-hmm.
And you can embark on positive habits and healthy routines because that helps the mental health as well simultaneously. But you have to figure out what the root cause is. Otherwise, everything you do is just putting Band-Aids on things. If you're not figuring out the root cause of why you ended up here to begin with.
Exactly. Because I not ignored, but I avoided my feelings for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started like acknowledging them and doing certain coping mechanisms and all that, it really helped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long process, mm-hmm. a very long process, but I would not be able to take care of myself physically because I did not care.
Mm-hmm.
I cared, but I didn't yeah. care because I just didn't have the motivation to do it.
Yeah, I can definitely see a shift. You're still a work in progress. Obviously, there's some things to work on and stuff like that, which we're going to go over, probably get a little deeper on that on the after show. So if you guys are members of Patreon, head over to Off Topic because Michelle's going to stick around for the after show. And we're going to talk a little bit more offline, uncensored type stuff. But what's next for you in your journey to taking care of yourself?
I'm just going to keep learning how to love myself because it's going to take me a while, but I'm taking the steps. I'm taking the right steps and consciously knowing mm-hmm. that I'm taking the right steps mm-hmm. and moving towards that direction is really helping. And I think over time I will be able to love myself.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in and sharing and being vulnerable because I know that's not easy. So I appreciate you coming down to be here on Candidly with Coffee. All right, you guys, thank you so much. Hopefully you got some nuggets from that because we really do need to take care of the inside before we expect massive transformation on the outside. It's so important. It impacts everything. And I'll see you guys on the next episode.